In the study of the book of 2 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit, through the apostle, writes to a local church. It is a very troubled church. He writes more. In fact, we call it letter number 1 or 1 Corinthians, and then letter number 2, 2 Corinthians. But scholarship understands there's another letter that he wrote that we don't know anything about, which tells me that he had a lot to say to them. And as you read what he did write, you understand why he had a lot to say. There was a lot of trouble and a lot of difficulty in the church at Corinth. When we come to the 8th chapter, he deals with the issue. I don't know that we use this word much anymore, but he deals with the issue of the collection. When I was a child, the older people said, they're going to take a collection at church today. Do y'all use that word much anymore? We generally say offering or love offering. A collection means they're going to pass the plate and they're going to take up money. And that's been going on throughout not just Christian history. That's been done by all manner of organizations, but Paul did that in the churches to help those who were in need. And we come to the 8th chapter, and a collection, an offering, is going to be taken for the poor. I title, as I deal with the opening 6 verses, I title these verses and this message today, True Grace Giving. The gift of the spiritual gift of giving is a grace gift. And while everyone may not have the spiritual gift of giving as their predominant spiritual gift, all of God's children have been called to give. We are not all called to be evangelists, but we are all told emphatically in the Scripture to do the work of an evangelist. And this morning, as we deal with this text, I want to read the 6 verses in their context and just say to you that what he establishes is that grace giving, that is, I'm motivated because of God in my life. I'm not motivated primarily because of a law. This church is one of many that believes in tithing, but it's not because we're trying to keep a law. We're tithing and we're giving beyond the tithe because the grace of God is in our hearts. And grace giving is proper giving, and it is grace giving, the type of giving that God honors. And if I'm going to give, I want to give in a way that God can honor it and God be pleased by it. Why do I want to check off of a certain box, be it a mental box or some other list? Why do I want to check off certain things as a religious exercise if I am missing God in the process? We can learn the giving that God honors if we examine in our text how the Macedonians gave. Look with me as we begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 8. If you are ready for the Scripture, would you say amen? Amen. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, that is, or expected, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. When we look at these verses today and think of grace giving and how the Macedonians gave, notice with me up front in verse 1 that giving, according to the verse, is a bestowal of grace, because he said, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. They are doing what they are doing because of the grace of God. And you say, well, Pastor, it doesn't say what they're doing. It does in the ensuing verses. You cannot separate verse 1 from the context. And the context is their giving. And so we find that their giving we do to you to wit of the grace of God bestowed. Somebody tell me what your translation, all of you don't use same translation of the pastor. How does your Bible translate the word wit? We want you to know, or we report to you of the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches. We want you to know up front that what I am saying to you is about the grace of God that He bestowed in the lives of the people in the church. If you struggle with giving, it is because you are struggling in the area of needing God's grace. Giving is not primarily motivated by the economy. It is motivated because Christ is in the heart. It doesn't mean that we don't have a selfish streak in us. We all do. Every time I've ever given anything, I think my flesh wanted to say, you might need that. But folks, while it will take something from you to obey God, more will be taken from you if you do not obey God. And when you obey God, you receive God's blessing, all of which are not monetary, thank God. Some things God does for you, money couldn't buy. And so God will bless the grace that He has granted, as He did in the Macedonians. He will bless that in your life as well. Giving is a bestowal of grace. If you struggle in your giving, you might want to pray, even for the upcoming revival, dear Lord, as you speak through your servant Mike Stone, would you deal with my heart in the area of honoring you as you desire to be honored, as I understand you're the owner of everything and I'm only the steward of what you possess. Let me be that steward and activate and watch over that stewardship as one who wants to make a good report with you as to how I handled your funds and that which belongs to you. The house you live in has an unseen title. It's not really titled in your name. It has the Lord God on it. The things that's in that home belongs to the Lord God. And all that we possess, be it much or little, we shall leave behind one day when we leave this place. We will not take that with us. So since it's only here for time, may we ask God to give us grace for time and reveal in our giving that God is present in our lives. Listen, this ought to settle it. God so loved the world that He gave. And if God so loved the world that He gave, when Brother Wayne doesn't love God like I should love God, then Brother Wayne is trying to love God as a tightwad. And God doesn't bless tightwads. Folks, did you know they still tell us that 20% of the people in the average church gives 80% of the money? Did you know there's such a thing as a hitchhiker to heaven? That God could have saved your life, saved your soul, you're on your way to heaven, but you're pinching pennies with God, that you want all the blessings of God, but you don't want to show your love for Him by understanding that one of the great ways I show the presence of God in my life is to be a giver, because His grace that caused Him to give to me lives in our hearts and causes us to want to give to Him. That's that simple. Very important. Very, very important. Giving is a bestowal of grace. Number two, when you give, it'll free you from selfishness. It will free you from yourself. Number two, in verse 2. Now notice these people. They're in a great trial of affliction. How that in a great trial of affliction, they had an abundance of joy, but they also had deep poverty. And their abundance of joy and their poverty abounded or resulted in them being rich in terms of being generous, liberality. So the second thing we notice is that true grace giving will bring joy. The abundance of their joy. Think about that. The trial of their affliction. Now, we don't know what they're afflicted over, and Bible scholars have just wondered about that. What were they afflicted over? What kind of affliction was it? They had an abundance of joy, but they also had poverty, but it resulted into, when he says riches, the abundance of their generosity. Their generosity, their willingness means their liberality means that there was a willingness in their heart to do right in the eyes of God and to be generous with what God had entrusted to them. And you can't be generous with what God didn't entrust to you. And the greatest statement I guess I ever heard someone make regarding giving was this: Wayne, don't judge your giving by how much you give. Judge your giving by how much you have left over after you've given. When I went to work, no, it got quiet in here, hadn't it? I didn't mean to cause stomach pains. When I went to work for Sam Cathy, at the meeting where that was announced, which was a Bible conference, he said, "Y'all pray for Wayne as he goes home and closes out his plumbing and electrical business and plans to go to work. I've got to get a fifth wheel trailer for him and a pickup truck and that sort of thing. Y'all commit that to prayer." And that's what they did, and the meeting adjourned, and we're all scattering, you know, like quail, getting stuff together. And a man who's left got some ways down the road, and he came back, and he went up to Papa Sam, and he said, "You know that trailer you need for Wayne?" He said, "Yeah, what about it?" He said, "I've got that trailer on my finger," and he pulls off a ring. And he said, "Sir, do you know how much that trailer cost?" He said, "It's a 27-foot Twilight bungalow," which was not high-end trailers, but it wasn't a low-end either. And he said, "Oh, how much?" And Papa Sam says, "The trailer itself is $10,000. That doesn't count the truck." He said, "I had this ring appraised about 3 months ago, and this ring is appraised at $10,000. And he laid it in his hand. And that's what bought my first fifth-wheel trailer. I shared that with a guy one time, and he said, "Boy, I bet he had a lot of money, didn't he?" I said, "Well, I don't know how much money he had. He didn't say, but let me ask you something. When's the last time you gave 10? He said, "I hadn't thought about that." Folks, it's not about how much I give. It's about how much I've got left over after I've given. Because self wants to be on the throne. You know, folks, giving is a lot like fasting. If you got to fast and put it on social media so people know it, you're just being hungry for no reason. You got your reward. And so we want to give because grace is in our hearts, not because we want somebody to know about it. Because our lives are to be lived for the glory of who? Well, when I tell what I give, that's not for the glory of God, that's for the glory of me and the glory of you. So giving should be done in a way that it just brings joy because God is in our hearts, and there is indeed an a deep abundance of joy because however much or however little, we give out of that and we feel good about it because God has given us the opportunity to do it. You know what I found out about people who give? I found out that when they finally get to the stage in life when they don't have as much to give as they did one time, when they might have been making full income, it absolutely grieves them. "I can't give as much as I used to give because I don't have as much as I used to have, but I'm giving out of what I got." And folks, that's what God always wants you to do, is give out of what you got. Now, this is a free commercial, primarily to the younger. And boy, and I mean this with a lot of kindness. If the devil can't destroy you any other way, he'll destroy you by having you spend every nickel you make. And I tell you what I've observed. I've observed that the young married couple who just getting started, and most of who just getting started don't have hardly a hat nor a window. And so that's enough said. We understand that that's a struggle, but you are faithful over a few things, and God will trust you in time to make you faithful over other things. But my experience has been that the family that makes $18,000 to $20,000 a year and live from paycheck to paycheck, you know what I found out? People that make $80,000 and $90,000 generally are living paycheck to paycheck. The more house you got, the higher your taxes. The more you got to clean, the bigger your yard, the more grass you got to cut. The more places you own, the more through your affluence, the more things you've got to distract you from the service of God. Folks, it's not about how much you make, it's how much you save. And the way you save is saying to yourself, I don't necessarily have to have that, particularly if I have to maybe rent, lease my soul to the company store to do it. And you make payments and you make payments and you make payments and you make payments. And I just want to say this with kindness. I'm not advertising a brand or anything, but I notice these car companies advertise 72 months of payments. Help your soul. A car will wear out in 72 months if you leave it in a garage. Let me tell you what you're wearing out. You're wearing out your ability to make money and your ability to give and your ability to honor God because the neighbors have a new car and you just despise having the clunker, and so it just hurts you to get a used one. You got to keep up with them. Well, folks, if you hock your soul to keep up with them, they'll refinance when you think you're even with them. You can't keep up with them. So there ought to be an abundance of joy, and as long as you stay indebted, there will never be joy. Listen to me, there will never be joy in your soul. It's one thing to have a little bit of debt, it's something else to hock your soul. And many people in America today hock their souls and owe credit card companies 22, 23, 25, and 27% interest. Not good. Won't be no joy. The way the Macedonians gave, they gave because the grace of God was in their heart and they had joy over doing it. That's the motivation, not the motivation of, well, I just like to have it. Number three. Verse three. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. What's one of your other Bibles used there for the word power? Huh? Ability. Look at it. To their ability I bear record, yea, beyond their ability they were willing of themselves. The key word there, a phrase is, they were willing of themselves. Giving is an act of the will. I do that because I want to. The New Testament says other places, don't give of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, a willing giver. I do that because I know that's the right thing to do and I want to do it. Now, how was it possible for extreme poverty, you notice there, to overflow in a wealth of liberality? Well, if you look at the text, first, they gave not as much as they were able, but they even gave beyond. Did you see that in verse 3? The sense is that they determined what they could contribute, and then they went beyond that figure. I want to say this as a testimony, certainly not as a brag. I'm as surprised as anyone. Beth and I have given more money in the last year than we've ever given in our life. And there have been times we've said no. But can I tell you this morning, we are both as fat and sassy as we've ever been. If we're missing it, we must not have been missing any meals. What happens in a time like that? God causes your shoes to last, your tires last longer. God takes care of you, gives you help. He just takes care of you in ways He determines. And so they gave more than they were actually looked like they were able to give. Secondly, what they gave willingly. It was voluntary, entirely on their own. Nobody was twisting their arm. When your pastor became pastor of this church, I had seen offering receptacles, I guess, Beth, in one at the most, two other churches. And so I said at that time to our deacons, we didn't have elders, I said, if y'all wouldn't mind, I would like to install offering receptacles and not pass plates anymore. I had heard a few rumors in the first part of a few months that I was here that Morningside was known to want your money. I don't think that was true, but you know, there's always a critic. One day praying is like the Lord put in my heart, we'll put up some offering receptacles. And we put up offering receptacles. They said to me, if that's what God's telling you to do, you can go ahead and do it, but it scares us to death. And by the way, because we have offering receptacles, that make us better than anybody. There's nothing wrong with passing plates. Not a thing in the world. But I thought, what a testimony it would be if people would just love God enough to give willingly. and not give because a plate is passed under their nose. Folks, if I give because somebody passed a plate, I need a work of grace in my heart. And so we did that, and we've never really regretted it. Third thing we find in the text is down, we'll see in a moment in verse 5, they first gave of their own selves to the Lord. Did you see where I read that in verse 5? And this they did not as we hoped or not as we thought they would, as we anticipated, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord. So, folks, that's kind of how that happened. You see, their preeminent concern was how am I going to in this really serve Christ? What am I going to do to honor Christ? This is not so much about a goal. This is about me trying to do all I know how to do in this, if it's a campaign or in this case for the poor. I want to do all I can to serve Christ. And folks, I want to say to us that it takes less time to give than it does anything. Giving is one of your simplest acts of obedience, but you want to do it with proper intent, and you want to first give yourself to the Lord. So giving is an act of the will. Let's look at a fourth thing, and that's verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship, that's a form of the word koinonia, of the ministering to the saints. And the word ministering is a form of the word that we get deacon from, service. And what we find in the fourth verse, giving to the Lord is always for the saints. Now, folks, this morning, if I gave the Lord $3, is there anybody in this room that thinks God needs my $3? If I give him $300 or $3,000, does anybody think that he really needs my $300 or $3,000? No, but God will bless that if I am giving ultimately because his grace is in my heart and I want him to be honored as something is done in his name to give to the saints of God. That's grace giving. Ministering is attending, it's relieving, it's serving the saints. And so giving is always to the Lord, but we want to serve the saints. That's why you hear your pastor from time to time, if we receive an offering, be it Bible conference or special guest, he that entertains a righteous man in the name of a righteous man gets a righteous man's reward, and he that entertains a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Do you want a reward? Then have grace in your heart to honor God and give to him what you feel his leadership permits you to do and be generous with it and be glad about it and be happy with it. Folks, the happiest moment in the church, or one of them, ought to be when we're able to give back to God. The only thing I've struggled with in my heart is have I made giving so low-key at this church there's not a time to break out in applause for the gifts of the people of God, because that too is an act of worship. Number 5, look back at verse 5. This they did not as we hoped, not as we thought or anticipated, but we first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now listen, giving is first, are you listening? First, a recognition that you are not your own. It is not, giving, I repeat, is not first and foremost an exchange of valuable assets. Most of the time we think giving is when we take a certain amount of money that we value to some degree and we give it somewhere else. Folks, giving is first the recognition that I don't belong to me, that I am the purchased possession of Jesus Christ. In fact, I wouldn't have to tell this congregation that Paul made the statement in 1 Corinthians, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who lives within you, which you have of God, and that you're not your own, for you've been bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said as in verse 5, and this they did not as we expected, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord. They consecrated themselves and they went beyond what we even thought they would do. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask my heart the same question. Not the first time I've asked my heart this question. When you're writing out a check to give to whatever, whether it's Morningside or somewhere else, do you say, dear Lord, I'm giving this because you have put it in my hands, and as a steward, I'm taking something that belongs to you, and I'm believing that this is what you would have me do with this. Now, as I do this, may you sanctify it and bless it as I give it into the hands of those who will make the decision, and may you be honored from it, and may people be blessed, and your kingdom be strengthened and expanded because of it. You ever prayed like that when you write a check? I hear people, and I try to correct this kindly when it's mentioned. People say, well, I paid my tithes. No, you didn't. See, folks, for you to say you pay something implies you've got a certain amount and you've got to get it in, and when you get it in, you're through with that. See, that's the danger of not grace-giving but law-giving. You think because you wrote a check for 10%, did I do good or what? No, you just started. Now, let me let you in on something about the tithing. I'll deal with this maybe on another message. The Jews, every third year, had to give an additional tithe, and if you figured up what they did under the law, they gave somewhere around 25% time they gave all their tithes. These people that hoot and holler about, I believe in tithing, based on the way the Jews did it, you don't. I don't know many people give 25% of their income. And you sure don't want to give whatever you give thinking, well, I fulfilled that. I paid my tithe. Folks, if you're not careful, the heart of man is so deceitfully wicked, you'll get proud of it. And God doesn't want us being proud of anything we do for him. We ought to be proud of what he did for us at Calvary. Well, there's one more verse, and I know you're glad of that. Verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforts those, Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you. Key word there, finish in you the same grace also. Here's the final one. Giving is a grace gift given to the poor and to the rich. Notice he says he would also finish, that is complete, perform, perfect, in you that same grace also. You know, the marvel of grace giving, and I just mentioned this for what it's worth, Jesus did not command tithing in the New Testament, but he did commend tithing, and he told the Pharisees, it's good you did this, I'm paraphrasing, but you left some of the weightier matters of the law undone. He rebuked them for that, but he commended their tithing. And he didn't commend the Pharisees a whole lot of things, but he did commend them for tithing. And the reason the concept of tithing is so still New Testament is that if you go back to what most folks in the church think, 10%, then the guy who made $40 last week can give 10% of that just as easy as the man who made $40,000 last week can give 10% of that. It makes the playing field even. And any time I get myself, and I've had people honest with me, and I appreciate their honesty, and I've been compassionate toward them and prayed with them, and they've made this statement to me, Pastor, I believe every word in the message you preached this morning about grace giving or tithing or stewardship is many times what I call it. And they said, I believe every word of it, but I've got myself in a position I can't tithe and pay what I've agreed to pay. Now, you know what I think the real response is to that? You're telling the truth. Folks, you can get to the place that you can't serve God like God wants you to serve him because you owe everybody and their brother. And I hate to tell you this. About the third Sunday you drove your new truck to church, nobody cared. Just go home and sleep with that payment book. Nobody cared. Just enjoy it. Nobody cares. I had a preacher say one time in a message that I was at, he said, I did the dumbest thing in the world. That's back when conversion vans was really popular. I remember when everybody in town had a conversion van? They had them little lights in it. Lord, that was dressed up my soul. That was a cat's meow. He said, I looked at them. I smelled of them. They had put all that stuff inside. It almost looked like a mini motorhome. And I told my wife, we're going to get one of them. And generally, folks, when you get one, can I tell you what goes with it? I'm being nice to you now. Don't get mad at me. Or maybe look at his neighbor and say, he's being nice to us now. Kind of, let's get that covered. You know what happens when you get it? You find out which first Sunday you got so you can be gone. That's why we got a congregation at Morningside and every other church I know about that the preachers are weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth that every time there's a Monday that's given by a holiday, whoop, they go on Sunday. Don't count on them being here. They're not going to be here. Their affluence and their toys has absolutely caused them to worship pleasure. Well, now, folks, I enjoy pleasure much as you do. I enjoy being alone with my wife as much as anybody else. But I doubt seriously when Beth and I walk through the front gate of heaven that God's going to say, and I want to check this record here. I want to see just how much you was alone with Beth because that's really going to count for something. Folks, I'm going to be with Beth a long time after we walk inside the gate. And us laying out of our responsibilities, and we are members of this body, says the Scripture. His body, now listen, and members one of another. But we can't serve God because we've got too much money in our pockets. We've got credit that they'll let us have credit. I had a family member one time that thought it was the grandest thing in the world because the bank had loaned you $10,000. Folks, if you're smart, that shouldn't impress you at all. That same bank wants you to pay it back with interest. Now, if they want to give it to you, I'm impressed with that. But they don't want to do it. They want to loan it to you. And so we get our loans and we get our income week by week, and we couldn't miss a week's pay without having to forego something because we have not been stewards, and we've not been stewards because we don't understand that all this belongs to God, and that will be part of what we give an account for at the judgment seat. And the reason it's not there is because we hadn't understood that giving, the right kind of giving, is grace giving. Look at your checkbook and remind yourself, I don't have a right to do anything I want to do. I've got to check in respectfully with headquarters before I spend this money because it belongs to somebody else. Grace giving. Somebody said one time, I heard a preacher say, said everybody's either tithers or tippers. Here's what I don't know if you know or not. If you're saved, you really are a tither. You say, really? Yeah. Some of those that saved give it, and others, God goes and collects it with compounded interest. And you can't bite. You can't bite the only hand that can feed you and prosper. Father in heaven, on this Lord's Day morning, it could be that the floodgates of heaven will open up today on some family or families like never before because of obedience in the area of grace giving. Lord, I don't ever want to tell you again I paid my tithe. I hope I graciously give back to you what you call for, whether that's 10, 15, 20, or whatever. Whatever you tell me to give. And Lord, it could be you, once I give what belongs to the storehouse, you could impress upon me to give some of your money to somebody else that's hurting and in need. But Lord, may I never again think that I'm anything other than one whose soul you've ransomed and you've entrusted the things to us that we now have some control over. But we won't have ultimate control because they will all remain here when we leave. Help us to utilize these in obedience to you, and may the grace of God that has saved us teach us how to give graciously with true grace giving. I pray for the soul today that is closest to hell. I pray for that soul that is weary today. I pray for that soul today that is clueless to redemption. Oh, precious Spirit of God, you can bring reality to bear in the heart and soul of each one today. Have your way in hearts today. Save any that are lost and restore any, O God, that need to be restored. Would you do that today, O God? For your glory we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor? The altar is open. This is the time.